Therefore, thou thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious stone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the promise. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled. Your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then shall you be trodden dead. From the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you for morning by morning, shall it pass over, by day and by night, and it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. For the bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself on, and a covering more than he can wrap himself into. For the Lord shall rise up in the moment of pursuing. He shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. Now therefore be ye not mockers, lest your hands be made strong. For I have heard from the Lord God of hosts, a consummation even determined upon the earth. I want to move back to the 21st verse, the latter part of that verse, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. Shall we pray together? Loving Jesus, as we bring this text to you tonight, we ask you to take our lips of clay tonight and touch us, Lord, and give us that favor that we need, the anointing that we need, that we might be able to give it forth of the unction of the Holy Ghost. Lord, we pray tonight for your glory. Amen. Amen. I want you to notice, as Isaiah is looking some 700 years towards Christ, and he speaks of a strange work that the Lord is going to do. And up in the beginning of the verses, he speaks of that rock that God is going to lay inside. It's going to be a tried stone. It's going to be a sure foundation. It's going to be something strange about that rock, because it's going to be a rock. It's going to either be a rock of victory, or it'll be a stumbling stone.
That's right.
And so therefore, he said that God is going to do a strange work. And when you begin to look into the Word of God, and you begin to analyze the things of God, and you begin to study the Word of God, you realize that the average person cannot understand the strangeness of it. Many times they'll say that the Godhead is a mystery, and I agree with them 100%. It is a mystery, because it's a strange thing. It's something that it's not in the ordinary. It's something that we've got to pray, and we've got to seek the face of God for an understanding of it. The Bible said that he would hide it from the wise and prudent, but he would reveal it unto the babes.
Yeah.
Because it's something strange. It's something that's not according to the ordinary. We look at Isaiah 9, 6, some 712 years before Christ appeared on the scene. And we hear Isaiah, as he said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor,
the mighty God, the everlasting Father. And as of his government there shall be no end. Somehow or other, when Isaiah was looking back through the streams of time, and he was looking at the work that God was going to do, he was looking at it in such a way that the world would call it strange, because it was such a marvelous thing. It had never happened before. A virgin had never born a child. There had never been a God-ordained plan like that before. And so Isaiah was looking ahead, because he said that God was going to do a strange work. Then we find in Isaiah 7:14, where it said, a virgin shall be with child, and she shall bring it forth, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. And no doubt they know exactly what it meant. I asked a Jewish woman, a waitress in Miami Beach, Florida. I said, would you please explain the scripture in Isaiah, since you will not read the New Testament? Would you please explain the scripture in Isaiah 7:14, where it said, a virgin shall be with child, and she shall bring it forth, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. I said, would you please give me the definition for Emmanuel? And she looked at me for a long time. She did not want to say it. And finally she said, he means so-and-so. And she brought it out in the Jewish language to her that it was far more plainer. And when she got through, she smiled at me. And she said, I know what you want me to say. And I know what it means. It means Emmanuel, or God with us. Oh, thank God for the strange work that he's doing in a world in which we live tonight. The world must not understand it. It's something about it. And when it says the word is a mystery, but somehow or other God is busy doing a strange work in our land. You'll notice a little farther, we find in Matthew the first chapter, we find the very fact that they spoke of the prophecy of Jesus, and spoke of the birth of Jesus, and said, she shall bring forth a son, they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, when we begin to think about this strange word tonight, we begin to think about a child coming into this world, that was possible for him to pick his own mother, pick his own birthplace, and pick the name that he's going to have. They don't usually do it that way, do they? They wait till they get here, and then they wrangle over the name, and nobody knows just where it's going to be born. A lot of them born in the car before they get to the hospital. But this person named his birthplace. There were nearly 700 and some odd years before he was born. He named his own mother. He picked his own mother because he was going to have a mother that was pure. And furthermore, he named his own name before he was born because he was doing a strange work. And it was something to glorify God in. When you think of Peter, he speaks of this in the Acts of the Apostles, the fourth chapter. And it's a familiar verse as he's talking to the Jews there. And he said, as he was speaking to them, he said, this is the stone which is set at naught by you builders. Now, Peter is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. But he said, he has become the head of the corner. Now, the thing that was really bothering the Pharisees was the strange work that was being performed. Here's a boy that's come into the world, born in a manger, he's reared in a home, and he is a son of a carpenter, he is not really very well known, so to speak. But somehow or other, He has become the stone that's been set at naught by the builders. And then Peter went on to say, he said, there is none other salvation and none other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You see, the thing that Peter is trying to bring out to them, that God promised over in Isaiah the 28th chapter that he's going to do a strange work. It's something that they don't understand. And I believe that God wants a variety in our labor today. I believe that he wants to do some strange things. This testimony of this baby being healed is a strange thing. I'm sure that that doctor is something is still wondering about it. And he probably thinks, well, I've got an answer for it. But I know what happened. It was a strange work that God did for that baby. It was not a normal thing. It was something strange. And that thing was healing that baby. And God is able to do it. And I believe he wants to do it.
Yes.
Peter cited another scripture in 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter. He said, wherefore it is contained in the scripture. I like that. Because it never did go out of the scripture. It was contained in it. You see, there are some things that disappear, but this was contained in the scripture. And Peter said it's contained in the scripture. What did he mean by it? He said, we're bringing it right on down to our day. I believe the things of God that was back there are still contained today. And the great works of God are still here today. Because the Bible said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can believe God for God to do strange works. We don't understand it, but somehow or other God has moved in that way. And he said here in this chapter, he said, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. But unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builder disallowed, the same has been made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. Wherefore also they are appointed. You see, Peter is talking about something that is strange. I believe that Peter reached back into Isaiah's gospel, and with a joy in his heart, he said, I read right here in the 28th chapter of Isaiah that he's going to do a strange work. Oh, thank God tonight. He's going to do a strange work, and it's still contained in the scripture that he's doing. Praise the Lord. You see, the church world tonight is looking back into their yesterdays. And I thought of what one Methodist preacher made the statement, and I read the article on it. He said, oh, for the days that we can feel that sweet anointing in our pulpits like we used to feel it. And he went on to say that we could feel the touch of God and we could see the shine of God on the faces of those like we used to see. And I thought of that man, that old timer, that at one time no doubt seen his own people as they danced and shouted in the aisles of his church. And the traditions and the unbelief and the things of the world had taken it out of his church. And oh, how you long to see strange things happen. See strange things happen. See things that's out of the ordinary happen in his church. But somehow or other sin had choked it out, and it was no longer there. Oh, God help us tonight as Pentecostals to say of Gideon of old, Lord, do it again, Lord, do it again. Somehow or other, we want to see the strange things happen, the ordinary happen when God moves in a special way.
Jesus.
I remember one time in our service in Wood Lake, we had a little old tent, floored tent, and we were having service there, and we had a revival going, and lo and behold, we looked up and then walked in the bartender that had a bar just out of town and his wife. And we kind of caught our breath when we saw this bartender and his wife coming into our service. And we went on to the service. The Spirit of God was present there. Lord was moving in their midst. And pretty soon they got scared. And they decided they would leave. But that was something that they shouldn't have done. They started to get up to leave. When they did, God slayed that man's wife, and she hit the floor like a pole ox. And she hit it in such a way we have seats down the side of the tent, or seats in the tent, and she fell on the curb and missed that seat that's on the side of the tent and landed in the floor. And that man turned around to her with a fear in his eyes as he looked at his wife laying there. And I told the saints of God, I said, let's go back there. And we gathered around her, and she lay there on the floor, and pretty soon she began to cry. And pretty soon the tears began to roll, and all of a sudden she rolled over on her back and raised her hands heavenward and began to talk in tongues as the Spirit of God gave her utterance. Oh, hallelujah! You see, that was a strange work. That was a strange work. There is something about it. One night we were in service and the service was going, and all of a sudden a little girl about 14 years old raised her hands on the back seat and began to talk in tongues and magnify God. God is filled with the Holy Ghost right back there on the back seat. Those are strange works. I don't know how they do it. But I know this one thing, that God's Word said He's going to do a strange work in the last days. There's going to be things happen that we don't know why they happen. There's going to be things come to pass that we don't know how they come to pass. But oh God, the cry of my heart is to make it happen somewhere.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Another thing you said here in this text tonight, His strange act. His strange act. You see, Jesus spoke in Matthew 28 and 11. He said, with standing lips and other tongues will He speak unto the people. And I know that most of you have seen people get the Holy Ghost. If you haven't, you've missed one of the greatest joys in your life.
Yes.
And you've seen that shine of God come on their face. And you've seen their countenance change. And all of a sudden, rolling from that being that you're praying for or praying around, will come forth a heavenly language as they begin to speak in tongues. As the Spirit of God gives them up. This is a strange act.
Yes.
I do not know how that God does it. All that I know that He does it. And I've seen it happen over and over again. And God just moved right into a soul. And the power of God came right down in their eyes. And they begin to worship the Lord. Because it's a strange act. Somebody said to me one time, said, well, how do you explain the Holy Ghost? Well, I could come down as near explaining the Holy Ghost as I could if I had a severe pain in my body. And I could explain how bad I hurt. You see, the Holy Ghost is something that's strange. Even the very element of it is strange. When Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, He said, the wind bloweth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, and thou cannot tell from whence it comes. Didn't He say it?
Yes.
There's something strange about it, because you don't understand it.
Mm.
And then the Bible says, when the Holy Ghost came, it came in as a mighty rushing wind, and filled all the house. They were setting there. People sat in the congregation, and they began to feel a strange feeling coming over them. Because the Holy Ghost is there. And that's what God wants us to have. In Matthew tonight, the 16th chapter, the 21st verse, we find as the Lord is speaking to his disciples, and I'm not getting off my subject, he began to tell them how that he must go to Jerusalem, how that he must suffer many things of the elders, chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Now Jesus is reaching into the future, and he is giving them a little resume made of the Calvary that he's going to, the cross that he's going to have to go to. And it's strange to them, because before they had always just taken the land. The priest had taken it into the Holy of Holies. He'd always offered the sacrifices, but no man had ever God himself. And Jesus said, I'm going to do a strange act in your day. I'm going to do something that you never, never, never realized that I could ever do. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to give myself to the hand of those men. And I'm going to sacrifice myself on Calvary. I know that it's a strange act, but all it takes from me is my strange act to bring back the victory that you really need. You see, there is something about this tonight that I want to call your attention to. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. And when you really pray like you need to pray, when you really get a hold of God like you need to get a hold of God, when you put forth an effort to get from God what you need to get, that's a strange way to act. Because the average person does not do things like that. And so therefore Jesus said, I'm going to take this and I'm going to have a strange act. Now we notice in the 22nd chapter of Luke, in another place, the Lord is there. He has withdrawn himself without a stone's cast. And he kneels down and he begins to pray. And he begins to pray the prayer of submission. He begins to ask God, if it's possible, let this cup pass from him. But then he begins to submit himself under the will of God. And he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. This is a strange act for any one of you tonight. On me to submit myself to God and submit my will to God, because it's a strange act. It's something that's out of the ordinary. He began to pray, and then there were some strange things happened to him. The Bible says that he prayed in such agony that the sweat glands became so close and the blood vessels became so close to the surface that the sweat that poured off of his body was of great drops of blood. And Michael, he knew that he was going to have to go to Calvary. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was performing the very thing that he spoke of back over in Isaiah, the 28th chapter of Isaiah. He said, I'm going to do a strange work, and I'm going to do a strange act in the last days, and he was coming to pass in his life. It was strange to them because they did not understand the motive of his doing, they did not understand the way that he was doing it. It was a strange thing. We find the very crucifixion itself. The Bible teaches us that they nailed him to the cross, and in the 27th chapter of the book of Matthew, we find that there were some strange things happened as Jesus was helped there on the cross. So we find that at the sixth hour, now this is a time when the sun would be the highest, and when it be the middle of the day, the Bible said at the sixth hour, there was great darkness that spread over the earth. Nobody had ever seen anything like that before. Oh, the feeling that came, no doubt, over those Roman soldiers that were so cruel and so mean that they had killed Jesus and crucified him. There was something that just, no doubt, caused the hair to stand on their head as this great darkness covered the land. And then the strange part of it was that this precious Jesus that was hanging there on the cross, he cried out in tones that was piercing. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You see, there was a strange thing, because he had declared himself to be God, veiled in the flesh, walking the shores of Galilee. But as he stood hanging on the cross, that strange thing that happened that day was the fact that Jesus had submitted himself to God. And that lamb that hung there on the cross hung as you will hang, a sinner away from God, with no hope, no God to go to. The Bible said that he drank the cup to the end. He was hanging there as a sinner, suspended before God and man, that he might buy your salvation and redeem you from the life of sin. It was a stranger. But the thing that really stirred those men that day, as Jesus said, lay not this sin to their charge, and then all of a sudden there was a thundering voice went forth, and that voice cried out, it's finished! And when he cried, it's finished, and gave up the ghost, the Bible said that the mountains began to tremble. There was a great earthquake. The graves began to open, and men began to come forth and walk in the streets, because Jesus had brought forth something that had never happened before. And that centurion that stood there that day, I'm not sure that he was trembling when he said it. He said, surely this is the Son of God. Oh, the strange things that happened. And Jesus said, I'm going to bring it forth.
Jesus.
Sometimes we want to know all the answers. Sometimes we want to know just what's going to happen. Sometimes we want to know just how we're going to do this and we're going to do that. But if I could inject into your minds tonight something in this message, I want to inject this tonight. That God, all down through the dispensations, have been capable, and he has done strange things. And we can expect strange acts in the day in which we live in. We can expect strange works in the day in which we live in. We don't need to be in the ordinary. We don't need to be just expecting just some little thing. But I believe with all of my heart that God wants us to come expecting somebody to burst through that door with a hungry heart, with a heart filled with a desire to pray. It's been done, it can be done again. Because God moves in strange ways. And he said, in that day, I'm going to do strange works in the land. And I'm going to do strange acts. The people's mouths are going to fly open.
And they're going to say, my, how in the world did he do that? How in the world did he do that? Praise the Lord. And I feel tonight, as we get back to Isaiah's gospel, he said, with stammering lips and with other tongues will I speak unto my people. I don't know of any more things that's confusing is to just see somebody begin to stammer with their lips, and then all of a sudden they come forth speaking in the heavenly language. I don't know of anything that's more strange to me is to see somebody come into the house of God that's lost and without God, and see the glory of God come on their faces. Some of you that have heard me preach many times, you've heard me tell it. But I remember one night, and I'm not living in bygone days, but I remember one night that I was praying at church. And I was seeking the face of God. And we were weeping before God, and the church service was almost ready to start. And God spoke to me. He said, I want you to go down to the cupboards. And I said, well, God, it's almost church time. He said, I want you to go down to the cupboards and see their cupboards. And I went down there, I knocked on the door, and he opened the door, and he knew it was almost church time. He just lived a few doors by me. Our church, he opened the door, and he said, oh, well, I was calling her, we've neighbors. And I said, hello. He stood there in the silence for a while. And I said, well, maybe you can tell me why I'm born here. I really don't know. But God spoke to me and told me to come down and see you folks. And all of a sudden, a gush of tears flowed from that big old 245-pound Burma man. And he said, I don't know why you're here. He said, my wife and I are fixing to separate. We're sitting here fussing over you and going to take the baby. And we were just fussing over that. I want the baby, and she wants the baby. And I listened to those little five kids sitting in there, they were crying. And my wife was sitting over the chair, she was weeping. And I said, well, then that's why I'm here. Sister Willie and the folks begin to come into the church. I wasn't there. They didn't know what had happened to me. I guess they thought a rapture taking place. They didn't worry about me because I wasn't there. And all of a sudden, I come in the door, right on my side, with a great big old burly man, and his wife, and a bunch of kids. Oh, thank God. Before I started leaving, that man fell on their neck and slid down to the floor. And begin to weep uncontrollably. And I took him to the church. And I had the privilege of taking my little old cold water down 3 doors and baptizing in the name of Jesus. Because God does strange things. He wants to do strange things for us. He wants to do strange acts. He wants to wake you up in the middle of the night and cause you to pray. That's what God wants to do.
Oh,
and somehow or other tonight, my heart is heavy. And I don't say it because I just want something to say. But my heart is heavy to see some strange acts.
Yes, amen.
Strange things. Oh, Lord, man. I don't have to get up here and pop and cry and beg you to come to the altar. Not doing a preaching, I want to see people come to the altar.
Yes.
I've shut my sermon down many a time as people may go into the altar. Oh, I want to see that again. Don't you?
Amen.
Don't you?
Amen.
I want to see it again.
Amen.
I pray God give us those strange acts, those things that are not ordinary, that we don't expect from you. Those children of yours come in and say, I'm going to church tonight. Because God's moving. It's strange.